This is an MP3 audio clip from the weekly People First radio broadcast.
CHLY 101.7 FM, Vancouver Island. On the web, www.chly.ca.
People with disabilities who are already struggling to manage on provincial disability benefits have been told by the BC government that it will no longer pay for some of the medically essential items and services they depend on. People who receive BC disability benefits receive a maximum of $375 a month for housing and $531 for everything else, including food and clothing. I'm joined by Robin Loxton of the BC Coalition of People with Disabilities and by Adrian Montani of First Call BC Child and Youth Advocacy Coalition. Welcome to People First Radio. Adrian Montani, these cuts reported as saving $25 million over 2 years take place against a backdrop of already existing poverty in the province of British Columbia. Tell us more about poverty in BC and why the government might be doing this.
Well, poverty in BC is the highest of all provinces, and particularly the part I know most about is child and family poverty in BC is extremely high, and again has been the highest of all the provinces for 6 years in a row. And what this means is that at a time when there's a recession, a lot of people are losing their jobs, because the numbers we have on poverty are from 2007, so we can not just guess, we know that the rate's gone up since for 2008 and 2009, when we'll see those numbers later this year. But what we know is that in times of need, people, or times of recession when people are losing their jobs, that the stresses on families of unemployment and financial difficulties make them even more in need of services. And what we're seeing is a context of high poverty rates, increasing financial stress for people, and cuts to services that are absolutely essential and hitting the most vulnerable.
Why does the government take this approach?
Well, I think really that question needs to be posed to the government. A lot of citizens, including members of our coalition, are wondering why those who are most at risk and most vulnerable are being targeted for all of these cuts, because there are cuts in the Ministry for Children and Family Development affecting people with children with disabilities, even in residential care, children in care, in residential facilities, and early childhood. There's just a new cut to the Success by Six program that affects about 400 programs around the province in 240 communities, where programs for young children and supporting their families. And I could go on the cuts in education, and we can talk about some of those if we have time. But I just wanted to outline that it's really far-reaching, and so to understand why they would ignore the evidence that investing in the early years, for instance, or investing in social supports for people to reduce acute health care crises that will require a higher cost, all of these kinds of cuts that are eating away at the social safety net and the preventative kinds of services that keep people healthy and improve children's well-being and long-term outcomes are being cut. So it's really, I can't answer that question. I don't know why, other than it's really definitely ignoring what the evidence says they should be doing in times of recession.
Robin Loxton, the BC Coalition of People with Disabilities has said that these cuts by the government ultimately will not save any money. Tell us more about that.
Well, simply, if you do not provide the supports and services that people with disabilities require, when they need them, equipment, devices, medical needs, then they do without, because these we don't have, the opportunity to go to other resources, because the ministry is, for many people, the only place they can go to get this coverage. So that means they go without. And as a result of that, later on, they're going to have, be in hospital or have greater demand on the healthcare system, or be in even greater poverty where they'll need support services. So where they're looking to save money on the short term, it'll end up costing society and everyone else, and of course the people themselves, in the long term. And I think that is very short-sighted.
Adrian, in an article at the TIE.ca, Bill Thielemann described the government's news release, which was titled Province Protects Services for Low-Income Clients, as Orwellian. Now, the news release begins by stating that the province is updating income assistance programs to ensure it can manage an increased caseload, provide benefits to as many people as possible. I'm wondering, what are some of the specifics of the cuts, given what the government has described themselves as doing, which is protecting services for low-income clients?
Yeah, that is, I think Orwellian is a good descriptor. Some of the cuts are like reducing access to children and people with disabilities for basic dental services, so they can only go to get their have examinations once a year instead of twice a year. They can get fewer x-rays. Diet supplements are cut back. As Robin mentioned, medical supplies, nutrition supplements, contraceptive devices. It's actually horrific when you think of the level of intrusion into people's lives that, on very basic services that we all have a right to expect, like getting a dental checkup maybe at least twice a year. Now, it's if you're on income assistance, you get it only once a year. And that will just, again, mean more cavities in children's mouths, and therefore they'll need more expensive dental treatment or lose their teeth.
Robin, tell us about the $75 shelter minimum that was ended.
Well, that was $75 that was made available for people who don't pay rent. And usually there are good reasons for that. And one of the most obvious ones were when people are homeless. So that if you, for example, in a normal situation, to get the $375 for the housing expenses, you have to prove to the ministry that you're paying rent, or that you're contributing to housing costs. And of course, people who are homeless don't have that opportunity, but they do have costs related to their shelter needs. I mean, even if it's as simple as going out and getting blankets and sleeping bags and things like that, and that $75 helps people meet some of those, needs. And by taking it away, then that's $75 less that people have to get by on. And once again, it's the most marginalized and the people that are in the most need that seem to get hit by these cuts. And this seems to be really unfair.
You're listening to People First Radio. I'm Kevin. The British Columbia government has cut health services for the poorest people in the province, a move critics say will inevitably increase government costs as health and well-being deteriorates and individuals access the health system more often as a result. I'm speaking with Robin Loxton of the BC Coalition of People with Disabilities and with Adrienne Montani of First Call BC Child and Youth Advocacy Coalition. Robin Loxton, the British Columbia Coalition of People with Disabilities has been reviewing the government's new regulations and sharing information about changes that have been made. What else is the coalition doing in response to these cutbacks?
Well, first of all, I do want to mention the fact that we're really disappointed in the government. I mean, we totally opposed to the idea of cutting programs to begin with. But on top of that, there was absolutely no prior warning or consultation about these cuts. The announcement was made 2 days after the budget, and there was no clue in the service plan for the Ministry of Housing and Social Development that they were intending to do this. On top of this, the people that are going to be affected by the cuts, most of them don't even know about it yet because there's been no, apart from the news release that came out about 2 weeks ago, there's been no notification of people on assistance of the full extent of the cuts. So one of the first things we need to do is to inform the community as to the extent and the impact of what these cuts are and what they mean to people. And I think that's a really important job to do, to get this information out there, through the news, through the media, through as many different ways we can, because people need to know what's going on. At the same time, we have made our concerns and our disappointment in this new direction taken by the government. We've made it known to the minister. We had a very brief meeting with him last week, and we said that these impacts would have a very negative, these changes would have a negative impact on our community. We're disappointed that, you know, they seem to say, well, they're not as bad as they could be given, you know, hard times and so on. But once again, we're trying to get the message across that any cut is really not acceptable. We'll need to continue to, get the word out, to express our concerns, and hope that there will be serious attention paid to this, not only by the government, but everyone in the community.
Adrian Montani, the government says that British Columbia's total income assistance rates are the third highest in Canada and fourth highest for persons with disabilities. The 2010-2011 budget for income assistance is $1.5 billion. How does information of that type and of that magnitude fit with, for example, discontinuing a $20 monthly bottled water supplement for people with compromised immune systems? How is the everyday BC citizen left to interpret this?
Well, I think what Robin was talking about, the importance of getting information out about what is actually being decided, to get past that spin is really important, because it is hard for people who are not personally affected by these cuts to know what they mean to people, and even to know that they've happened. They're not announcing the cuts with the same enthusiasm as they are announcing some of those global numbers that make it sound like there's lots of spending. I think people are astute, and citizens understand that by just repeating the same numbers, we're spending lots. I think people start to understand that is what it is. It's spin. And it's unrelated to actual increases in need in population and the actual costs of delivering programs. So when you say in education or in services for people with disabilities, the costs are we're spending more than ever, then you really need to look at, well, how many people are being served and has the cost of delivering those services gone up? That's what agencies around this province are facing, is that they're being downloaded with costs, some of them government-imposed, and not being given the money to cover them. And even the cuts, I'll just be very brief, the cuts to service clubs through gaming and things like that is going to affect people with disabilities, children with disabilities who get sponsorships to go to summer camps, food programs. So there's some of the same vulnerable populations are being affected by multiple cuts from different levels, whether it's through health authorities, through the Ministry for Children and Family Development, through housing and social development and welfare cuts, and then even to the gaming grants. And they're being hit from all sides, and it's quite shameful to see what BC is doing in contrast to other provinces who are actually increasing supports in some cases for vulnerable populations.
And Robin, your thoughts?
Well, I really have to agree with Adrian, because our organization has been hit with a number of cuts from funding we receive from government, which means that the level of service that we can provide to our community is reduced. We've also seen reductions in legal aid to low-income people who need especially, support around poverty law issues. So everywhere we look, there's bad news for our community. And as Adrian said, sure, there are hard times, but other provinces are doing a better job in addressing these issues and not punishing the most vulnerable people in the community. So I think we can do better. I think there are things the government can do around poverty reduction, develop plans and initiatives and goals that can be achieved even during these hard times. So we can do better.
We only have a moment left in our discussion today. I'm wondering if there's anything else you'd like to add, Adrian Montani.
Well, I would like to let people know that there is a coalition building in British Columbia. It's called the Coalition to Build a Better BC. And there is a website, which is betterbc.ca. There is a rally being planned. Now, it's so far just in Vancouver. I expect as the movement grows, there'll be actions in other parts of the province as well, and people are welcome to take some initiative in that regard. It's April 10th. There will be a rally in downtown Vancouver to raise some real concerns and show a show of force that we're really concerned about these, and we're going to fight these cuts.
And Robin Loxton.
Yes, I really agree that we should fight these cuts, and also let people know, as many people know, friends, neighbors, family of people with disabilities, all part of the, you know, the community that's affected by these changes. So it's not just a small group of people losing a few extras. These are essential supports for people with disabilities, and I think that the more people that know what's going on can really say, hey, wait a minute, there is a better way of doing this.
Thanks to both of you for taking the time to join us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Robin Loxton is with the British Columbia Coalition of People with Disabilities, and Adrian Montani is with First Call BC Child and Youth Advocacy Coalition.
People First Radio is an initiative of Columbian Centre Society in partnership with Radio Malaspina Society's CHLY 101.7 FM, CHLY.ca, community radio from Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily of these organizations.